talk to Dad.
Hello and welcome to the Talk Dad podcast, episode 181. Got Elizabeth here with me.
Hey.
How's it going, Elizabeth?
Feeling good. Feeling good in 2020.
Feeling good in 2020. Mm-hmm. You enter 2020 as a college grad.
Yeah, I do.
You sure have no classes planned for the semester.
No, the only time I'll be going back to school is if I'm teaching. So,
is this the first podcast you've done as a college grad, or last time you were on, had you graduated? I think you were about to.
I feel like I already had, but I'm not 100% sure. Really? Yeah,
I don't remember either. I think you were about to take your teaching certification test, but you hadn't got the results back.
I passed on both of them, so that's good.
Studio audience is really excited to hear that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, no, I went to a New Year's Eve party. What was it, like 2 days ago? Something like that?
Today is the 3rd, so I'm going to say it was
4 days
ago.
4 days ago?
Well, yeah.
And technically, it was like on the border between 2 days. Whatever.
Today's Friday. That would have been on Tuesday.
Yeah, so I went to a New Year's party, and immediately before that, me and Bex took a road trip down to Austin, which was really fun. We went and saw a punk concert there. It was Against Me. They were fantastic.
Where was it at? Like, what was the venue?
The Mohawk, I think, which was kind of like, it was sort of halfway outdoors, kind of an outdoors venue, which sucked because it was pretty cold. But like, once everybody started packing in, the venue was like, I think, sold out. So it was all really packed. And like, the more people kind of were in there and more people started like dancing and moving around, the warmer it kind of got. So that it wasn't a huge deal. We saw some sights. I made Beck stop every few feet because there was another dog to pet.
There are a lot of dogs in Austin.
Yeah,
true.
good city for dogs.
It's definitely a dog city.
We walked. We ended up because there's this cafe that had this art on the side of it that just says "I love you very much."
Yeah, that's really famous. It's on Congress Street, South Congress Street.
Yeah, but it turns
I think
out
it's a taco shop.
No, it's a coffee shop.
Oh.
But they also serve like breakfast and stuff.
A little cafe
on
South Congress.
But it turns out there's two locations of it because they spread out.
Yeah.
So we parked at the wrong one and I was like, oh, this is in the middle of downtown. Okay, well, it's not that far to Congress Street, so maybe we'll like walk down Congress Street later. It was like a mile.
Yeah, I was thinking it'd be even longer than that, like a couple miles.
No, it wasn't
too bad.
You
gotta go over the bridge and...
Yeah, you go over the bridge, but I think it was exactly 1 mile. But then we like just wandered around the shops over there. It was really fun.
That's the bridge where all the bats live.
Yeah, the bats.
Did you see the bats? Bridge.
No, we were there during the day that day, so we didn't see any bats.
I don't know. I think there are certain seasons for them too.
I think it's during the summer, so we're in the exact wrong area for them.
Because I've been there before with Phoebe on like, I guess it would be Labor Day weekend. Is that what's in September?
Yeah. Yeah, that's in September. Like, I think it's like a week after. No, it's other one.
But Labor Day. I think it's Memorial Day that I've been
there. No, Memorial Day. Yeah. Memorial Day is in September, Labor Day is later.
In the spring is when I went with Phoebe. And you can see all the bats come down when the sun goes down.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So maybe some other time you can go down and see all the bats. But anyway.
Yeah, I'd like to go back. I really liked what I saw of it. And you know, we didn't get to stay for very long. It was just a night and then a morning, and then we headed back later. Yeah. We went to the Czech Stop.
Czech Stop's really good.
Yeah, I sent Mom a picture of the Czech Stop, and I was like, hey, guess where we are? And we stopped for kolaches.
In West Texas. Not actually in West Texas, but in
the city of West Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is sort of in, I don't know, central to East Texas.
Yeah. Yeah. Weirdly enough.
Yeah. And they are famous for their kolaches, which are like baked goods.
Yeah, it was, I guess we were there, what was it? I guess it must have been Sunday, and we were in there and it was packed.
Oh, and it's open 24 hours too, so you can go there in the middle of the night and still get kolaches.
We We didn't stop on the way back. We should have.
But it often is packed. Yeah, there's a lot. Mm-hmm. A lot of times there's a line out because it's kind of right in between, I guess, Austin and Waco and Austin and Dallas. And a lot of people just stop there because it's famous. It's right along the highway.
Yeah.
35.
Yeah, Waco is about halfway between, so it's not too far. We stopped there to get Dramamine because we split up the trip. It was about, I guess, like 3 hours.
Was someone getting car sick?
Yeah, Bex gets car sick really easily. Oh. On the way there, I was like...
Do they have Dramamine at the check stop?
They don't at the check stop.
Oh.
And we couldn't find it in the Waco Walmart where we stopped. All we could find was children's Dramamine, which is like the chewable kind.
Mm.
Anyway. But yeah, it was like 3 hours. So we stopped in Waco both times and swapped. And I asked Bex, I was like, hey, this was the day before we left. Like, hey, should we get like an audiobook or something from the library? And Bex was like, oh, no, I don't really like audiobooks. I don't really like podcasts. You know, it's just like a personal thing. I just like to listen to music mostly. And so while I was driving, I was like, all right, well, since I'm driving, do you want to listen to, like, can we put on a podcast that I've heard of called Alice Isn't Dead? It's by the folks who did Welcome to Night Vale. It's about like,
is it like fiction or is it nonfiction?
It's a scripted fiction, like kind of horror, kind of mystery podcast. It's very, very good. It's about this trucker who like her wife disappeared or she thought her wife was dead. Her wife, Alice, was dead. And then she started seeing her like on the news in the background of like all these stories where like mysterious things were happening. Mm-hmm. And nobody could figure out what was going on. So she starts going through her stuff and like finds this mysterious company that's like a trucking company that her wife had like written in her notes. And so she signs up to be a trucker for this company and she sees all these weird stuff. It's very, very good. Mm-hmm. We got hooked on it. Bex was like, listen, I don't like podcasts, but like, let's keep listening to this one.
So it was like fiction, paranormal kind of horror thriller type stuff.
Yeah. Things like, they keep driving through the same town, in multiple states and like weird things are happening in that town or like there's these billboards out in the middle of nowhere that just say like a name
mm-hmm.
and that's it. It's like weird paranormal stuff like that. I think it's all finished actually. I haven't finished it yet.
How many episodes is it?
There's four parts and I think each part has about five episodes.
Mm.
So roughly like 20, I think, although don't call me on that, but it's very, very good. It sucks you in. So that's mostly what we listen to on the drive down and back.
Yeah. I find it really helpful when I'm on a car trip to have to listen to something that's got like a narrative structure to it because I don't know. It's like, it's that way your mind doesn't just sort of wander and you don't get sleepy because you got something to sort of pay attention to.
Yeah. That's
something that can hold your attention while you're just doing the mindless stuff of driving down the road.
Yeah, basically. And it's a very good podcast to listen to on a car trip because the whole conceit is like, ooh, spooky things are happening on this car trip. So if you get creeped out easily, maybe don't. But yeah.
I guess if it's a long car trip, it might be kind of creepy.
I like that though.
Yeah.
And I think that like, I don't know, I feel like if I'm on the road in a car, unless I'm in like in the middle of like what I like to call Slenderman country, which is just like backwoods, there's nobody else around. Mm-hmm. Like I don't feel safe then, but if I'm on like a highway and there's like other people driving like around me, that's fine.
Yeah. Highways aren't that scary, but it does feel like if you're on a, like you get off the main highway, if you're on just like a 2-lane highway out in the middle of nowhere, it does seem like that's where you'd be most likely to see creepy things, you know?
Yeah.
Cryptozoology or aliens or, you know, just who knows what.
Well, sure. But I mean, I feel like in my life or death Bigfoot attack scenario, I can just hit him with my car.
That'll work until your car gets disabled and then, you know.
Or just drive away. Yeah. He's called Bigfoot, not Run Fast. That's dumb. I'm sorry.
You usually just do see him kind of strolling and like in the Patterson film.
Yeah, very he's just leisurely.
Kinda, yep. He's not running. He's just taking his sweet time. He's like a pedestrian that's going to take his own time.
Maybe he's like, he gets into like, I feel like if Bigfoot did any sports, it would either be like speed walking.
Yeah.
Or curling. I can see him doing curling for some reason.
Did you ever listen to, there was a Bigfoot podcast called Wild Thing?
No.
It's pretty good.
That's awesome.
It was done by a journalist who isn't really like a Bigfoot believer, but she just kind of got interested in the topic. And mm-hmm. she talks to like, I guess she found out that she's sort of distantly related to one of the top Bigfoot scholars, like researchers.
Oh, that rules.
And because of that, that sort of made her able to talk to a lot of people that are like Bigfoot enthusiasts.
Yeah.
Because of the relationship. So like ordinarily they wouldn't talk to like a journalist, but they were all about like, because she was related to this really respected Bigfoot researcher.
Yeah. She was already like,
they kind of brought her into the clan and it's pretty interesting. It's not, you know, it's not going to change your mind. Like if you don't think Bigfoot exists, which I will say I don't.
I don't really care if he does or not. I just like the culture that surrounds things.
Yeah,
like
the
that.
Culture and the psychology of like people who believe that sort of thing. It's pretty good. It's called Wild Thing. I think it's like, I don't know, 8 or 10 episodes or something.
Okay,
and
yeah.
And it's pretty well done.
Yeah.
Speaking of creepy, mm-hmm. Mom and I finally caved and watched A Quiet Place with the boys last night.
Oh, how was it?
The boys had seen it like a few months ago because they kind of got on this horror movie kick.
Mm-hmm.
But I had never seen it before. Have you seen it?
Uh-uh. No.
So
I'll try and get you to watch The Witcher because I think you'd really like it.
They just came out with the trailer for A Quiet Place Part 2, which is the sequel to A Quiet Place. I think most people know at least the premise of the movie, and that it's basically that there are monsters and the monsters can hear any noise. So you have to be super quiet or else the monsters will immediately attack.
Yeah.
And the monsters are believed to be indestructible and there's nothing you can do. And so they're living like in this post monster world and trying to be super quiet, this family. And one of the kids in the family is, the parents are like, you know, the father played by John Krasinski is like an engineer, and the mother played by what's John Krasinski's wife's name?
Emily Blunt
is a doctor, and they have like all these different ways of like surviving. They're really smart people, and their children are pretty smart, and one of the children is deaf.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually really helpful because they all know sign language, so they can sign to each other. They don't have to talk. It's good. It's very tense, which is the reason I didn't see it the first time when it was in the theaters, even though I heard it was really good, mm-hmm. is it's just most of the movie is super tense because you're always worried, like if they make a single sound,
yeah,
you know, and it's very, and there is incidental music and there's a little bit of like quiet, sound effects.
Yeah.
But you're always expecting like, other than that, it's pretty, you know, the soundtrack is pretty quiet.
Diegetic noises are just kind of very minimal.
So that makes it really tense. It's good. It's well done. It's interesting.
Yeah.
I
think a good sound design is like a massive part of horror movies.
Oh, for sure.
Because it's not something you can see, but that can kind of like make you paranoid if you like make it exactly right, like even the little noises and stuff. Somebody pointed out to me that a lot of horror movie soundtracks use simultaneously like a very low note and a very high note, like uh-huh. kind of a droning noise, because it has something to do with how we existed like in the wild and like how we listened for noises that meant danger to us. And low notes generally tend to make us uneasy because it reminds us, you know, generally low noises mean big creature. So we kind of, you know, we feel a little bit more on edge
mm-hmm.
because we think that there's some sort of large predator lurking nearby. I would really like to watch, my favorite horror movie is, right now anyway, is The Witch. And I would really love to watch that with you. I actually own it.
It sounds really scary.
Yeah, but it's not really scary. There's no jump scares, which I personally like.
I do like that. I'm not a big fan of jump scares. They just feel so cheap.
Yeah.
There were a few jump scares in the
The Quiet Place.
In The Quiet Place. And a couple that were like the fake outs.
Oh, I hate
where it's
those.
Like, you think it's the monster, but it's a cat. I think in this case, it was like, you think it's a monster, but it's a rat.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
But there's no jump scares. It's just sort of creepy. And it sort of very slowly builds up to like this insane finale. that I think it's very, like, very meticulously researched. It's a period piece that takes place, like, in, like, an early American Puritan colony and then, like, out in the woods. So it's just very, like, it was shot with, like, all natural lighting and all, like, period-appropriate dialogue. It's just very meticulous and interesting and almost kind of literary, like, in that there's, like, a lot to unpack from it, but it's also, like, it's not like if you can't, like, decode this abstract symbolism, like, you won't understand it, which I feel very much about The Lighthouse, which is the director's more recent film that I did see. I didn't like it as much as The Witch. The Witch, I feel like you can, it's approachable, but there's still a lot to appreciate about it. And it is scary, but I would like to watch it with you.
I don't know why we're talking about scary and creepy things in this podcast. I mean, we're a couple of months from Halloween, but...
Oh, it's always Halloween.
I do have one other creepy thing I wanted to talk about. It's even in my show notes here.
Oh, nice.
The discussion sort of led us there, but I had it there to begin with. Because I know it's a topic that you find interesting.
I do.
I wanted to talk about a particular haunted doll.
Yes.
So... Mom and I, and let me back up a little bit and I'll explain the reason that I put it in the show notes. I gave for mom, I managed to surprise her and gave her a mystery vacation. The history behind this, and it was something, it was kind of like a prank we were doing with the boys that on, let me see, how does it go? Mom's birthday, on October 21st, she opened a present and all it said was mystery vacation.
Yeah. And then they did the same with your birthday.
And then the same with my birthday. And then the same with William's birthday, which is a week after mine. It just said mystery vacation. But then we actually told him what the vacation was. We made it seem like we weren't going to tell him. And they were both like pulling their hair out like, this is crazy. Why won't you tell us what the vacation is? Anyway, for Halloween?
Christmas. Halloween.
I mentioned Halloween's Halloween a second ago, and now it's jammed in my head. For Christmas, I wrapped up a present that said that had the same picture of Mystery Vacation and put it under the tree. And then when she opened it, it just said Mystery Vacation. She thought, haha, very funny. But then on the back of it, it had a picture of a key and a picture of Kanye West, except she didn't recognize Kanye West. And then actually Phoebe was on the phone with us. Phoebe, who's a missionary in Southern California right now. She was able to call us on Christmas morning.
She was escaping.
She figured it out that it is a vacation to Key West because Key and Kanye means Key West. So I gave mom a vacation to Key West. Later in a few weeks.
Who did she say? She opened it. She was like, oh, is that, what was it? Shaquille O'Neal?
Shaquille O'Neal.
Which he looks nothing
like Kanye West.
I mean...
Not much.
Not at all.
I think if you saw them, both of them in a room, you would be like, these are two completely different human beings.
Yeah, these are two completely different people. They're not related. They're probably not friends.
They don't look anything alike, really. So anyway, in preparation for this, I was looking at like all the different things you can do in Key West.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's a haunted hotel. There.
There's a haunted hotel.
Yeah, I used to have a sleeping disorder, I guess, in retrospect, when I was like 12. And I used to like get up early and like, I think it originally started that my phone at the time like had an alarm that I couldn't switch off that was like 4 a.m. And so I'd get up and like wake up every single day at 4 a.m. and like in order to like do something to like pass the time, I would go and watch the History Channel, and that was when they all had all the like haunted unsolved mysteries at night. And I watched an episode on Key West, and apparently there's a haunted hotel there. Don't remember anything else about it.
We're only going to be there for a few days. I think we fly in on a Wednesday and we fly back on a Saturday. Key West is the southernmost point in the continental United States, because it's like Florida,
right,
and then you have those little islands that come off the tip of Florida, and it's the very last of the islands. So it's a good place to go in January because it's actually pretty warm. It's one of the only places in the United States that's pretty much guaranteed to be warm in January.
Nice.
So it's actually pretty popular then. It may be a little crowded because it's kind of the high season for them. One of the first things we'll do when we get there is we'll probably go on a ghost tour. Because ghost tours are kind of fun to do.
Oh, I wanted to go on a ghost tour of Austin.
A good ghost tour. A good ghost tour. Usually they give a lot of like the history and the, you know, some cultural things about this. It's not just about ghosts.
Yeah.
The ones who are really good. They kind of give you some background and history of the story. And then they tell you like
a ghost story.
Something creepy that happened. Something, you know, like a horrible crime that happened that may or may not cause a haunting.
Yeah. We went there. We went on one for a... in New Orleans, me and Phoebe and mom. There were so many drunk people there.
Yeah.
So many.
Yes. Well, that is New Orleans. And that's probably Key West, to be honest. But one of the things that the ghost tour does is they visit a haunted doll named Robert. Robert the doll.
That's already cursed.
I've got a picture of Robert the doll. Robert the doll looks like that.
Oh, I feel like I've heard about this thing. Yeah. Freaky. He looks like, oh, geez. He looks like those puppets from The Dark Crystal, but worse.
Oh, yeah. He's kind of a life-size doll.
Ugh.
This is a story that I'm looking at an article from Atlas Obscura. Here's what they have to say about it. Here's something that most people would agree is true about Robert the doll. He's terrifying. Ostensibly a little boy in a sailor suit. His careworn face is only vaguely human. His nub of a nose looks like a pair of pinholes. He was covered in brown nicks like scars, and his eyes are beady and black.
Whomst among us?
Exactly.
Whomst among us, listeners?
He wears a malevolent smirk.
Malevolent? Malevolent?
Malevolent, sorry. I didn't watch the movie. He wears a malevolent smirk clasped in his lap. He's holding his own toy, a dog with a garish popping eyes and two big tongue. Lulling crazily out of its mouth. So here's the story behind him. Robert is 111 years old and lives in the Fort East Martello Museum in Key West, Florida. Before that, he was the property of Robert Eugene Otto, an eccentric artist and member of a prominent Key West family. Yes, the doll and the owner had the same name, but the boy answered to Gene. Robert was a childhood birthday gift for Otto's grandfather, who bought the doll during a trip to Germany. Otto's relationship with the doll continued into adulthood. What people really... let me skip a little bit of this because I want to read the whole article. According to the legend, young Otto began to blame the mishaps, some mishaps that happened around him on the doll. While this could have been laughed off as childish storytelling, adults also started to notice odd occurrences, especially as Otto and Robert grew older. As an adult, Otto lived in a stately home called the Artist House, where Robert could be seen positioned at the upstairs window. School children swore that he would appear and reappear, and they avoided the house. Myrtle Reuter purchased the Artist House after Otto's death and became Robert's new caretaker. Visitors swore they heard the footsteps in the attic and giggling. Some claimed Robert's expression changed when anyone badmouthed Otto in his presence. Reuter said, Robert would move around the house on his own, and after 20 years of antics, she donated him to the museum in 1994. So, creepy little doll. I skipped a part of the story. I think there was like some bad things that happened that Otto blamed the doll for. As a child, he used to take it everywhere and talk about it in the first person as if he weren't a doll. His parents would come into the room, and they would hear two voices and then come into the room and ask him what was going on and saying, oh, I was just talking to Robert.
Ugh.
All kinds of creepy things. Ugh. And like as an older artist, he would like position the doll in the room while he was creating his art. And but one of the
it's so freaky.
One of the myths around this doll. You can visit it because it's in this museum. It's been donated to a museum and it's inside a glass case.
Mm-hmm.
But supposedly, if you want to take a picture of Robert, you have to ask Robert's permission. And if you don't, Robert will curse you. And there are a lot of letters from people that are like asking for Robert's forgiveness because they didn't ask permission before they took a picture. And afterward, their life was cursed. So
cool. Love that.
Robert the doll.
I don't trust any life-size doll, honestly.
It's a pretty creepy looking doll.
Yeah. Oh, did you know that there's did you hear about the American Girl doll they're coming out with recently?
That is hearing impaired.
Yeah, I didn't realize the other American Girl dolls could hear you.
I know. I saw that on Twitter. Someone made that comment on Twitter.
I know. I think I retweeted it.
I thought it was pretty funny.
Oh, man.
What else is going on? So I've been taking a couple days off work. I feel like I'm playing hooky. Like, I felt like for the last 3 days that it is Saturday.
Yeah, me too.
And it's like I'm having a series of Saturdays.
Yeah.
Like today all day, I felt like it's Saturday, even though it's Friday. Tomorrow, I'll probably feel like it's Saturday, but it'll be okay because it'll be Saturday.
Yeah. I feel like I should be attending classes still. Like I'm not, which I mean, I need to, I've been like applying for jobs and stuff. So, yeah. You know, there's that, but I don't know. I feel like I'm playing hooky from something.
From life.
From life. Yeah. I don't know. It's, I mean, even when I was like in elementary, middle, high school, like during breaks, I start to feel like more and more anxious throughout the break. Cause I'm like, I feel like there's something I'm supposed to be doing mm-hmm. and I'm not, I'm yeah. just playing Mario Kart all day.
Yeah. I feel like that a little bit. I'm a little bit dreading going to work on Monday because I am going to go back to work on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And because I work in a corporate office, like a lot of people have been gone kind of the last half of December. So it's been pretty quiet. But I have a feeling on Monday, like everything's just going to avalanche because everyone's going to get back and they're going to be like, oh, that thing that I want done, I need it done now.
Yeah.
So I imagine it'll be very busy and hectic. And oh, well, I have that to look forward to. But then if it's... why it's kind of nice that I have a vacation to look forward to in a few weeks to go to Florida with mom.
Yeah, that's nice.
So let's just go ahead and jump in and do some news.
Now your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
I have a strange story from Provo, Utah. A Provo, Utah man has... according to this story, he is blurring the line between man and machine. He has started implanting himself with microchips.
Oh, yeah. I've heard about these folks.
You heard about this guy?
I haven't heard. I don't know if I've heard about him specifically.
This guy, his name is Ben Workman. He seems like he's just kind of a jokester. But so far, he has like 4 different microchips implanted within him.
That seems like a pretty a little too far for a joke, maybe.
And one of the microchips he has is the chip that unlocks his Tesla. So he can just walk up to his Tesla, wave his hand at the car, and it unlocks.
I kind of just assumed all Tesla owners did stuff like this. So yeah. That doesn't actually surprise
It does sort of track, doesn't it?
Yeah.
He says he uses it like as a prank on his friends. Because he'll tell people that the banana... he'll like be holding a banana and will tell people that the banana is his key. And he'll... put the banana up to the car and it will unlock and people are like, whoa. He also has a chip that logs on and off of his computer. And he has a chip that uses the same technology as Apple Pay and Google Pay to share his contact information with people. He could just wave his hand at people and share his contact information.
That way when people kidnap him, it's also a mugging.
Yeah. And he has a magnet implanted in his left hand that he uses for magic tricks.
As you do.
As you do.
Whoops among us.
He says the Tesla chip, most of the chips that he has implanted in him, he just had his family and friends do for him. But for the Tesla chip, it was a little bit more difficult. So he went to a piercing... some sort of shop that does professional piercing, had them assist with it. I want to know, how do you feel about this? How do you feel about this whole having a microchip implanted within you?
Uncomfortable, mostly. I don't...
It seems like a lot of work.
Yeah, like what if you wreck your car?
Or yeah, like, I mean, eventually you're going to have a different car, right? People don't keep a car their whole life. So do you have the chip removed and replaced?
I mean, half my brain is like, I don't know, you know, he's not really hurting anyone. Let him do what he wants. But the other half of my brain like had to plan for 2 years to get a second earlobe piercing. So like, I don't know. I feel like maybe also people who have like prosthetic limbs might be closer to machine or like cyborg or whatever he's going for.
Yeah. And that's a whole different thing. Like, you know... having science that assists you because you may be disabled in another way.
Yeah, and this is just sort of that.
This is
frivolous.
Just sort of, yeah, it's just for kicks, basically.
Yeah, it's just a show off to your friends, and it's like, that's like in your arm now.
Yeah. A lot of people have really strong feelings about, like, you know, because people get their pets microchipped, right? So that if you lose your dog, they can identify the dog.
Mm-hmm.
There's been some talk about, like, well, why don't we do the same thing with children? It's like if a child gets lost.
Boy.
But that opens a whole different can of worms, right?
Yeah, I definitely know some of my parents' friends growing up that, like, I would not trust them to have that information.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, I think it's creepy when, like, I think there's an adult friend that I have, or a friend of a friend, who his mom has a tracker in his car, mm-hmm. and he's, like, 24.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's creepy. Like, let alone, like, implanting anything.
A little bit.
Once we get, like, medical, like, stuff out, I feel like it's a little much.
I know a lot of people that are, like, you know, adults that are married, that they both have the phone app where they can know where their spouse is at all times. And they say it's convenient because they don't have to, like, bother their spouse to know, like, when they'll be home or whatever. I even find that a little bit creepy. Even though, like, I don't have anything to hide from mom.
But it's still kind of an invasion of privacy.
It's just a little, I don't know, like, I don't know.
And it's a little obsessive.
Guy, he's an adult. He can do whatever he wants with his own person. But there is a little bit of creepiness to this. Like, it feels a little bit like the transhumanist movement.
That's
the
what I was going
to
say.
Trying to, like, go beyond what it means to be human or enhance themselves with technology.
I was trying to, I think there was some sort of, quiz about, like, where you lean, like, politically, and it was, like, very in-depth, and it had, like, all these weird answers from, like, philosophies I'd never even heard of, and I was, like, taking this thing, and it was like, do you agree with transhumanist philosophy? And I was like, oh, what's that? And I Googled it, and I was like, no, that's dumb.
I really don't.
No, that's dumb.
I sort of have the same feeling about it. Like, I mean, I guess it's fine, and I certainly support, you know, prosthetic technology for people that are disabled, but...
I mean, yeah, I wear contacts.
But these, like, type of people who believe...
I need to. I'm pretty much blind.
They believe maybe they'll be figure out how to, like, live hundreds of years or, you know...
That just sounds exhausting.
Be able to plant a microchip in your brain that'll allow you to learn quicker than other people. It feels like... To me, it feels like arrogance, right? It's like Dr. Frankenstein.
It is,
like,
very Dr. Frankenstein.
The arrogance of, like, thinking that you can outlive nature.
Just wanting to become, like, a living galaxy brain meme. Yeah. Like, how do you distinguish between, like, we don't even know what intelligence is.
Yeah.
Like, that's where we're at right now. And you're telling me you want to, like, do science to your brain that you are absolutely 100% sure won't just turn you into a vegetable.
The other thing, I think, whenever I hear about, like, the people who think, you know, you can turn off all the genes that create aging and you can live forever, like longevity or like a really long time, I think, yeah, but you got parts that are just going to wear out. Like my teeth are not going to last a couple centuries.
You're just going to turn into a vampire that's like having, like, harvesting organs to try and, like, keep yourself alive and just replacing it indefinitely. And who wants to live like that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, everyone has one life to live, but you don't want to, overstay your welcome, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Anyway.
Like, when I'm 90, just throw me into the ocean.
Mom and I were shopping the other day. We were shopping down in Plano for Christmas gifts, and we went to Madness Games and Comic, which is like a game and comic book store.
Yeah, I've heard good things
about
it.
And I noticed, like, a couple doors down from there is an office of the Neptune Society. And Mom didn't know what it was. Do you know what it is?
No, but it sounds menacing. It sounds like some Illuminati type stuff.
The Neptune Society is a group of people who, for a fee, will make sure that you have a burial at sea.
Okay, that kind of rocks.
They will cremate you and sprinkle your ashes at sea. And I saw the storefront and I was like, oh, look, it's the Neptune Society. And Allison, my wife, your mom.
Yeah, I'm aware. I've met her.
Said, what's that? And I explained it to her and she was like, really? That's a thing? I was like, yep, it's right there. I didn't know they had an office in Plano, Texas, but yes, they do, apparently.
Just throw me in the garbage. I don't care. I'm dead.
I sort of feel like that. I mean, maybe that's a little disrespectful of the dead, but I don't really have a strong feeling about what happens to my remains. Although it would be nice, I guess, for my loved ones to have at least a place they can come visit.
Yeah, this is the thing. This is so weird. And, like, I don't know where this podcast is going right now, but I kind of like graveyards.
We're definitely on a morbid and creepy.
We really are.
Theme today. I don't know what's going on with
us. Speaking of which, I have skull socks on right now. Do you know what the other sock is?
They're so goth.
Ghosts. The other one is ghosts.
Ghosts and skulls. It's just in the air.
It's just very spooky feeling. It feels like October outside right now. Anyway, no, I was saying I kind of like graveyards because it's like a place to visit.
I do like graveyards. I think they're a lot of fun.
Yeah. There's something like you don't get the feeling of a graveyard anywhere else. And maybe that's a good thing. But it's kind of like
good graveyard in Key West, apparently. And it's got lots of crazy different graves.
Oh, is
and
that
it's
what
especially
that
known for having like a lot of the graves have epitaphs, kind of funny epitaphs.
Yeah.
Like there's a famous one that says the only thing the epitaph says is, "I told you I was sick." Which is like the most passive aggressive headstone ever.
What a jerk move. I can write somebody like that same person passive aggressively writing a will and like putting that in there.
The hotel that we're staying at is only a couple blocks from the graveyard. So, you know, we'll visit it and take some pictures. You want to share your story?
Yeah. This was one I actually sent you. A few days ago because I saw screenshots of it on like Twitter or something. The title is Boy's Christmas Gift Causes Fire in Front Lawn of Family's McKinney Home. So this isn't very far from where we live, which is what grabbed my attention.
I didn't really mean to give that a rim shot. I was looking more for...
this family it's like a mom and dad and a 12-year-old boy, maybe some other siblings, I'm not really sure. But they got him a magnifying glass. He asked for a magnifying glass for Christmas because they thought it was going to be like, he was going to use it for like reading.
And I
gotta
say, magnifying glass seems like a really innocent gift to give your child. Like I could have seen us giving that to you or to Phoebe. Just like, you know, you get to be a detective, you get to look at things, you get to see things up close.
Yeah. And
magnifying glass seems like a good Christmas present.
It's really fascinating when you're
not
like,
dangerous at all.
Yeah. But he wanted it because he wanted to start fires.
Is that why he wanted it?
Specifically. Yes. They were just like, we just thought he wanted to use it to read. And he's like, nah, I wanted to start fires.
Ooh.
And so I think he and his, he does have a younger brother, I think. This kid's name is Caden. Of course, his name is Caden.
Somehow that also makes sense.
Dylan would also make sense to me too.
Yeah.
But he went outside and I think he started, he used this magnifying glass to set a piece of paper on fire. And when it did start on fire, both the kids start freaking out and they're like, they didn't know what to do. So they flipped it onto the front lawn and the lawn caught on fire.
Of course, the lawn's all dead because it's December.
Yeah. The article says, all of a sudden, Caden comes tearing in. The lawn's on fire. And we're like, what? Our lawn's what?
Yikes.
Oh, a father of five. There's five kids.
Wow.
And also, all seven of them ran outside to start putting on the flames. And there was a ton of smoke. The mom grabbed a blanket and like threw it over it and just trying to smother it. they quote the 12-year-old who started the fire, quote unquote, "It was crazy." Yeah. Thanks for that, Caden. Yeah, it was. He said, he was curious over whether he could use it to set a newspaper on fire. I focused enough so it was just a little dot and it just burned the newspaper wherever the dot was. So it was really cool, he says. I guess he was having his brother hold the newspaper while he was trying to set fires. And so when it burst into flames, his brother like threw it onto the lawn.
Yeah.
Which, not great planning, gotta say, Caden.
No, this is why kids shouldn't play with fires. This is why kids start fires, and they get out of control.
But no one was hurt. There's hardly any damage. They just kind of singed the lawn pretty badly.
So I guess the lesson here is, if your child tells you they want a magnifying glass for Christmas, you should maybe ask a follow-up question like, why? Sure.
Well, why do you want it?
What are you going to do with it?
It's a very old school sort of pastime. It feels like back in the 80s when kids, you would just, the parents would just like throw them outside and be like, yeah, go entertain yourself.
Yeah. What's the name of that book where the kid crash lands an airplane up in Canada? Is it called Hatchet?
Hatchet, yeah.
Hatchet. And part of the reason he's able to survive is because he can use the hatchet and he finds some flint and he can start a fire. Mm-hmm. Maybe he should have brought a magnifying glass.
Well, he didn't do it on purpose. The pilot had a heart attack. I don't think you've actually read this book.
No, I heard it. I think we listened to that on a tape when we were on a road trip one time.
Oh, did we? I read it on my own.
Or at least I did. I can't remember if you were on that trip or not. But
I think I do remember you listening to it, but I was zoned out because I'd already read it.
It's a really good book. But I mean, he didn't plan it that way. But maybe it would be helpful to have a magnifying glass so you can start fires when you're lost in the Yukon.
Yeah. Anyway, the mom says, yeah, Caden's he's not allowed outside. The magnifying glass doesn't go outside anymore. It's just for reading.
Yeah. Or looking at things up close in the house.
I have another news article that I have not seen before, but I love the title. It's Police Therapy Dog Accused of Stealing Toys Donated for Children.
Mom spotted this story.
The subtitle is The Alleged Thief Gets to Keep the Toys Because There's Too Much Slobber on Them for Donation Purposes. I'm tired of the police abusing resources like this. Like, especially just because he's a police dog, he gets to keep the toys. Come on, man. Come on. So a therapy dog named Ben, who works for a Massachusetts police department, is being dogged. Oh, stop that. With allegations he's a thief. The Franklin PD has been collecting toys for kids for the Santa Foundation, a local charity. Oh, there's a picture of the dog, and he's very good.
Adorable.
He looks very guilty, though. He's got those droopy jowls and those sad eyes.
Yes.
Look at him. I didn't mean to.
He looks like
they're
a good
so
boy.
Tantalizing. Yeah. He's like a golden retriever. Very, very, like, classically dog. Like, if you looked up a picture of just a dog, it would probably be this. We've had several officers that have worked very hard to make sure that some of the kids in town and the community have needs that have needs will have something to open on Christmas, says the police chief. After a couple of toys went missing, the officers started investigating the matter. They quickly figured one of their own as the leading suspect. When Ben saw the toys, he thought they all belonged to him. Wow, what a monster.
Maisie would do this.
Maisie absolutely would, and she would tear it out. She would tear out all of the stuffing. After officers caught Ben carrying a baby doll in its carrier by the handle, he attempted to outrun them. So he picked up a baby doll by its carrier by the handle and attempted to outrun the cops. He ended up leading the crack investigators back to his bed under a desk where they found a complete stash of goodies all covered with slobber. That's so nasty.
Yeah.
So he was hoarding them in his dog bed. The department tried to turn the dog's alleged crime spree into a teachable moment on Facebook. We learned an extremely valuable lesson today, the department wrote, alongside a video of Ben making off with the doll. When you have a classroom full of toys ready to be shipped off to the Santa Foundation, you should, 1, close the door to the classroom, or 2, keep the toys elevated.
Yeah. Maisie got really upset today because one of her toys rolled under a piece of furniture.
She does that, yeah.
She was so sad. She was so sad until I got it out from under the furniture for her.
Is it one of the new ones from Christmas that she's... busy dismantling?
No, I think she's destroyed one.
Yeah.
And then she's basically destroyed the other one. I probably need to throw it away. That Phoebe sent her one from California that's a little hamburger.
Yeah, a little plush
it's
hamburger.
It's basically destroyed. I probably need to throw that one away. She still loves it, but yeah.
Anything plush she loves so much, and she will absolutely tear it to shreds.
Just tear it to shreds, yeah.
Yeah.
This dog... in the story, seems like a really good boy, despite the fact that he was stealing all the kids' toys.
Yeah.
Have you seen, I think you've probably seen it on Twitter, there's a dog that plays Jenga.
Yes! Oh my gosh.
Such a good boy, girl. I can't remember if it's a boy or a girl. But such a good dog.
Such a good dog. She's so methodical about it.
I had never known that a dog could play Jenga, but this dog is amazing.
There's a moment in the video where she's playing Jenga and she's gently pulling this one block out and it starts to fall and she just pauses. She freezes And then she, like, a giant glob of drool, like, drips from her mouth. And then she pulls it the rest of the way out. And it's so many emotions in that one moment.
Yeah. Well, speaking of dogs, I do have a story from the world of science about dogs. Science! A new study has come out from Johns Hopkins Medicine that was published in the journal PLOS One. P-L-O-S One.
PLOS One.
I don't know how to pronounce that, but anyway.
Like a Swede.
The study says that having a dog at an early age can reduce the risk of developing schizophrenia later in life. Huh. Robert Yolkin, a doctor from Johns Hopkins Children's Center, and the primary author of the research said serious psychiatric disorders have been associated with alterations in the immune system linked to environmental exposures in early life. And since household pets are often among the first things which children have close contact, it was logical for us to explore the possibilities of a connection between the two. The researchers studied the implications of contact with dogs and cats during the first 12 years of a person's birth and its impact upon their chances of developing bipolar and schizophrenia later in life. A clear reduction in the risks of schizophrenia was observed in the case of people who had pet dogs as young children, and there was no statistical significant link between dogs and bipolar. He didn't study cats, so they haven't decided whether cats reduce or increase the risk of developing these mental conditions. In the study, Yolkin and his colleagues took a total of 1,371 people from Baltimore between the ages of 18 and 65, out of which 396 suffered schizophrenia, 381 bipolar, and 594 mentally unfit controls were screened for any psychiatric condition. And then participants were asked whether or not they owned cats or dogs before the age of 12. The findings revealed that the ones who were exposed to dogs before the age of 13 had a 24% less risk of being diagnosed with schizophrenia in adulthood. Interesting. I think it's one of these sort of preliminary studies. It's sort of too hard to read too much into this because anytime they talk about reducing the risk, there's a lot of statistics that go into that that are kind of hard to control for.
Yeah, so it's associated. So there's a correlation. Right. It's really difficult to figure out if that's causing it. Mm-hmm. And they're obviously like approaching this from a autoimmune type perspective of like maybe if you're exposed to a wider range of like animals and different environments, like maybe that could be partially a cause of things like that.
Yeah. It's interesting though. And certainly, you know, I'm a supporter of dogs. So if it does reduce the risk, schizophrenia is really strange because, you know, aside from the fact that it's a really difficult disorder to treat and cure, mm-hmm. It's also strange because it usually doesn't appear in people before the age of 20.
Yeah, same with bipolar.
Like in their 20s, it just sort of shows up and people don't really know why.
Yeah, same with bipolar disorder generally. It's really unusual for it to show up before like your early 20s. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have a friend with, I think, bipolar 2 that grew up with a dog. Just sort of, I guess, as a tangent thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like schizophrenia is one of the most interesting and also most misunderstood like mental disorders. I don't know. I really like looking into like weird or niche like mental disorders. But schizophrenia, like really the only symptom across the board is like disordered thinking and delusion. Like you don't have to hallucinate to be schizophrenic, which mm-hmm. is really fascinating and like the ways that it manifests. And there's a lot of like different weird things that you could like make you more at risk for developing it later in life, mm-hmm. which is bizarre. I don't know. It's just really fascinating to look at and like seeing what works, what doesn't for certain individuals, certain types.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. And I think that's definitely something that needs a lot more study. So, but this study, maybe it will lead to more research about what things in childhood might lead to like causing or not necessarily causing, but contribute to or help prevent that sort of mental disorder.
Yeah.
All right, let's do a game really quick.
Shall we play a game?
It's not with Alexa, but we are going to play a game anyway.
That's a new drop. I haven't heard that one before. It's from like War
usually
games,
we play
right?
that. Yeah, usually we play the full drop when we're playing a game with Alexa. Mm. But right now we're just going to play a game. This is a game that I saw or I heard on another podcast. There's a podcast called Threedom that has Scott Aukerman, Paul F. Tompkins, and Lauren Lapkus.
Oh, I know those people.
pretty funny podcast. But they do a feature on the podcast every episode. Mm. And one of the features they did was a feature called Yes and No. And the way this works, we take turns. We'll do two rounds. In the first round, I will ask questions. You'll answer the questions. I will ask exclusively yes or no questions. You have to answer the questions without using yes or no.
Okay.
And then we'll flip it and you can ask the questions and I'll answer the questions. Let's go for just a couple minutes. And if you can make it through.
So do they have to be one word answers or can I just sort of ramble on?
You can answer it however you want. You just can't use yes or no.
Okay. Yeah. I like rambling on. Obviously.
And I think it also includes yep or nope.
Variations. Yeah.
So let's try it. Let me put a couple minutes on the clock and start it and see how it goes. All right. Are you feeling okay today, Elizabeth?
I am feeling roughly the same as I do most days.
Have you ever seen a ghost?
I have heard of people seeing ghosts. I know several people who have had interactions with ghosts.
Do you have a cat?
Calling her a cat may be a bit overstated.
Do you like your cat?
I like my cat.
Does your cat ever bother you?
She actually bothered me this morning. I opened my eyes and she had her paw raised ever so slightly and she was staring right at me as though she was going to smack me.
Did you drive up to the house earlier, park, and then drive away?
Okay, well, some claim that I may have. However, some may, I...
And then you went and bought a Dr. Pepper, didn't you?
I actually bought 6 Dr. Peppers. Here's a 6-pack.
Have you drank any of your Dr. Peppers?
I just drank one. It had a couple maraschino cherries in it, and I felt very fancy. Yeah.
Did you buy any Diet Dr. Pepper?
Why would I do that? It sucks.
Have you ever not liked Christmas?
I've been depressed around Christmas time, and I just wasn't feeling it. I'll be real with you.
Do you usually like Christmas?
Frankly, I can't remember. I liked Christmas this year. I don't have any general feelings on it. It just sort of comes and goes, I guess. And if I'm feeling it, I'm feeling it. If I'm not, I'm not. You know what I mean?
You're pretty good at this. Pretty good at this game. All right, let's see if I'm as good.
Because I love
at this
giving
game.
Rambling nonsense answers. I'm very good at that.
All right, let's start.
Have you ever been to California?
I have been to California on multiple occasions.
Yeah, did when you went to California, was your mom there?
On a couple of times, my mom came with me.
Did you ride the subway?
We did not ride the subway.
Do you have a favorite color?
I do have a favorite color, and that color is blue.
Yeah? Has it been your favorite color? Was it your favorite color when you were a kid?
I think so. I think it was.
And you just like never changed it?
Yeah, lots of people have the color. I only made it.
Get you in your comfort zone.
I made it 45 seconds.
I say yeah, kind of like as a space filler. So I really...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was harder than I thought it would be. I thought I was on top of it. That was good. It was good to ask the follow-up question.
You had a really strong You had a strong start. Yeah.
And then I messed up. All right. Well, there's only one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is...
three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself. Treat yourself.
So one of the things I asked for Christmas was some weird treat yourself treats. I got what I asked for, and with a vengeance.
They're feeling vengeful?
One of the things I got, and I think I might save some of these for a later one, but one of the things I got was cauliflower pretzels. Not something I ever would have purchased for myself. Huh. I guess.
But for our lovely listeners.
It says the cauliflower pretzels are made with cassava and cauliflower. Cassava is what they make tapioca out of.
Oh.
A root vegetable.
Oh, I thought tapioca was its own thing. Guess not.
Yeah, it's made of cassava, tapioca. They're both the same thing, I believe. I think I'm being accurate here. It says it's made from cassava flour, which is the same as tapioca flour, cauliflower flour, non-GMO cornstarch, canola oil, cane sugar syrup, yeast, salt, vegetable powder. I don't know. Maybe it's just fine. Maybe it tastes great. It is vegan for all you vegans out there. It's made with real veggies, according to...
Wait. Are normal pretzels vegan? Are normal pretzels vegan? I need to know this now.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Let me Google it.
Are pretzels vegan? Alexa, are pretzels vegan?
No, that's not true.
She says no, but I don't... She they really may or may not be vegan
depending on the type of pretzel and who made it.
That makes sense.
Plain hard pretzels are typically vegan. Flavored pretzels are the ones you have to look out for. Because
they might have cheese on them or something like that.
They might have cheese. Yeah, they generally only have three ingredients, yeast, flour, and water.
Yeah.
So yeah, normally they're vegan.
All right, well, let's try the cauliflower pretzels. And then you found something on clearance at...
like Walmart, I think.
Walmart, perhaps.
Or maybe it was Kroger.
It is something called Horalki.
Yeah, it looks like wafer cookies. It looks
like
there's...
wafer cookies with peanut butter in them and chocolate. They look pretty tasty, actually. Yeah. Let's try the cauliflower. Henry wants to join us, I believe. I'll turn on your mic, Henry. Ooh, they smell not great. I got to be honest. These smell not great.
Oh, no.
Cauliflower pretzels.
And cheese doesn't smell good. So.
Take a snuff.
Take a couple of cauliflower pretzels and pass them around.
Oh, I hear William coming down. He also wants to try them.
William's also going to... he's going to have to share a mic with...
oh, they smell horrible.
His brother, because they only have three mics set up.
Just crinkle this in really the microphone more.
How bad they sound.
Oh, they don't smell that bad. They don't smell
pretzels.
Great. They don't... they're kind of chalky looking.
Mm. All right, I'm going to mute the mic so we don't crunch into them. What do you guys think?
They taste like kale chips.
Yeah, I kind of really like them. I don't know. They're really weird, but...
I'm going to say they're meh.
Meh. M-E-H. Meh.
The texture is really cardboardy.
That's chalky.
I'm going to say okay.
I'm giving it a high up. What the hell?
I initially thought they might be ooh, seriously so gross, but they have enough flavor in them. They're not totally disgusting.
They're not
the texture's kind of weird.
The texture's not bad. They're kind of chalky, which
makes
it...
they're neither bad nor good.
Which, like, makes it weird to pick up. I think if you had, like, a gluten allergy and you just were really craving pretzels, like, this would be an acceptable substitute. But overall, I feel like they're just a little sad. I feel sad when I look at them and when they're in my mouth and when I'm swallowing them.
You're going to call them meh also.
I'm going to also call them meh. So I think that's the first time I've called them meh.
I feel like after you ate enough of them, they just taste gross.
All right, let's try these.
They're not terrible.
Horalkis. Yeah. Where are these from?
I have
no
idea.
They seem like something that might be from Eastern Europe.
Yeah, weirdly.
There's a clearance sticker on them that makes it hard to tell where they're from.
Sedita, Pekovarnis. I'm going to look up the company because it's not a company I recognize.
Mystery wafers.
I'm going to look it up too. See if we can figure out where these come from. Horalki. It's a Slovak wafer bar. They are from Slovakia.
I don't think they've had any Slovakian
I can't read.
Food.
It was the best-selling wafer of all time in the Czech Republic and Slovakia since 1953.
Oh, dang.
It was introduced in Poland in 2007 and in Hungary in 2008. And now, apparently, you can find them in clearance at Walmart.
Or Kroger, maybe?
Or maybe Kroger.
Maybe Kroger.
I think this might be the first.
I think it might be Kroger. This clearance sticker looks like a Kroger sticker to me somehow.
Yeah, probably. Oh, it's just in a huge chunk. So I guess I'll just
huge
be good.
Chunk.
Take a bite of it and pass it. Oh, it's a little melty, so be careful.
Some crumbs. All right, here. Passing it around. I'm going to mute the mics. I'm a sucker for a good wafer cookie, I think.
Me too.
It's like a lot of wafers, too.
Yeah, it's so good.
It's very like crispy and light and chocolatey.
Like
and
I think it's delicious. Peanut butter and chocolatey.
Delicioso!
I think the flavor is kind of like Reese's Puffs.
Kind of, yeah.
It's like Reese's but it's, Kit Kats. It's
like, I feel like Reese's like peanut butter cups, like the flavor, it's a little overwhelming at sometimes, and this is kind of just light and airy. It's nice.
If it was totally coated in chocolate, it'd taste more like a Kit Kat. It's not, it's only got kind of chocolate around the edges.
Which does make it really messy to eat, and it melts on your fingers, and there's crumbs everywhere.
I do like
but
them.
It
but
is
I
delightful.
I like it anyway. I like how wafer cookies, they're really light.
Yeah.
And crispy.
I like the noise about them. Of biting into them.
Yeah.
This, yeah.
Like, weird crisp noise.
Yeah. I know. I always try to mute the mic so we don't have mouth noises on the podcast. And then I always wonder, maybe it would be a much more popular podcast if I didn't. Mom and I have been watching this Korean show called Let's Eat. It's like a K-drama.
And they keep all of the slurping noises and the...
Every episode, there's like at least two meals and they like blugs. Linger on... So it's about these people that are like, they really like to eat. But it's sort of a romantic comedy, I don't know, crazy sitcom type thing.
Yes, it's a K-drama.
But every episode, they go out to eat and it's like, they have these long scenes where it's just them eating their food, different kinds of food, and there's lots of mouth noises.
You're suggesting we just turn this into an ASMR series?
I'm or at least the segment.
Not suggesting that we do, but I'm wondering if we did turn this into an ASMR podcast, would it be more popular?
If it
than
was
it is?
Audio well, only experience that. Rather than an audio visual experience, it might become like kind of haunting.
I don't think it's something that's going to happen anytime in the near future. But anyway, that is Treat Yourself, and that is our podcast. Thanks, Henry and William, for joining us for Treat Yourself.
Thank you.
Thanks, Elizabeth, for being on the podcast today.
Thank you.
It was nice to have you here. And thank you to everyone who's listening. If you are listening, let us know. You can tweet us at TTD Podcast on Twitter. You can find us at Talk Dad Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. You can email us at talktodadpodcast@gmail.com. And if you go to talktodadpodcast.com, you can find all of our episodes. You can stream them or download them from episode 1 through episode 181. And if you want to help us out, there's two things you can do. One, you can tell a friend about this podcast. Today was a little creepy. It's not normally as creepy or morbid as it was today, but it's a family-friendly podcast. The other thing you can do is you can leave us a 5-star review. If you leave us a 5-star review, that helps other people potentially be able to find the podcast among the millions of podcasts that are out there. If you have left us a 5-star review, we really appreciate it. If you subscribe, rate, and review us, that helps us out a little bit in terms of finding an audience. So we definitely appreciate that. This has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later. There's time for-